Good morning, everyone. We come now to the time in our service where we consider God's Word. And today our scripture reading is Psalm 145. Today we begin a series of messages on the attributes of God, what God is like, what are His characteristics. If someone were to ask you to describe God, what would you say? Well, you might give the answer found in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And that's a good, concise answer. It touches on a lot of the important things that God has revealed to us about Himself. And what I'd like to do over the next weeks is to look at some of these attributes so that we can remind ourselves about the character of the God we serve. Knowing God moves us, or it should move us, to worship Him more fully. It also gives us insight into and understanding of the world that God has made. It gives us understanding of ourselves. We would expect that something created would reflect something of the one who created it. And that's especially true of us as human beings who've been made in God's image. So knowing God is not just an interesting academic pursuit. It has relevance for the way we live our lives in this world that God has made. Today, since it is a Communion Sunday, I thought we would start off this series by looking at what we call the goodness of God. And to do that, we'll revisit Psalm 145. I say revisit because we've come in contact now this morning twice already with this psalm in our meditation verse and in our responsive reading. Just a few notes about this psalm. One is that it was written by King David, the first king of the Old Testament nation of Israel. Second, it's mostly a psalm of praise, praise for who God is and what He has done. You saw that in the responsive reading this morning as we brought our spoken words of praise to God. And the third thing about this psalm is that it's what we call an acrostic. And that means that each line begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. If it had been composed in English, the first letter of the first line would have been A, and the first letter of the second line B, and so on. If you grew up as an Israelite, that would have helped you to memorize this psalm. So let's hear from God's Word. Since we've read the opening part of the psalm already, I'll start with verse 9 and then read to the end. So Psalm 145, beginning at verse 9. Let us hear God's word. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. May God bless this reading of his holy and inspired word. Well, as I've already said today, we'll be looking at the goodness of God. Many children know the short prayer that's often prayed at mealtimes. God is great, and God is good, and we thank him for our food. Believe it or not, we used to pray that in my public school kindergarten class when I was in school. God is indeed great, and he is also good. But what do we mean when we talk about his goodness? To say that something or someone is good can mean a number of different things. Sometimes it can mean that someone is obedient or morally good, like when we say, he's a good boy or she's a good girl. Sometimes the word can mean that someone is skillful at something, like when we say, he's a good craftsman or she's a good pianist. Or good can refer to something that is well done, like when we say, good job. But when we speak of God's goodness, generally what we're talking about is that he's a benevolent God, or a God who acts in caring ways that benefit others. And so coming under this broader heading of God's goodness are things like his compassion, his kindness, his generosity, his patience, and his love. And we see that in this psalm. Verses 13 and 17 say that God is kind in all his works. Verse 14 says he holds up those who are falling and lifts up those who are bowed down. Verses 15 and 16 say that he gives food to his creatures and he satisfies their desires. In the book of James, in the New Testament, we read that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes God as a father who wants to give good things to his children. So I have 2 points today. One is that God's goodness is to all. God's general goodness to all. And the second point is God's special goodness, his special goodness to those who call on him. So first, God's general goodness to all. We see this stated in verse 9, where it says, the Lord is good to all, and his compassion on all he has made. We see this also in verses 13 to 17. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. All of creation experiences the goodness of God. He gives life. He sustains life, providing food and necessities. But more than that, he satisfies the desires of every living thing, giving things that we want and delight in. Everything in life that you and I enjoy comes from a God who is good. And God is even good to his enemies. That's not specifically stated in this psalm, but in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that God sends the rain and he provides the sunshine, not only for those who are good, but for those who are evil. In Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas were preaching about Jesus to unbelievers in the city of Lystra, they told the crowd that God had not left them without a testimony concerning who he was and what he was like. They said that God had demonstrated his kindness or his goodness by giving them rain and crops and food. Well, you may be thinking, well, that's all good and true, but what about the bad things, the things that are not so good in life? What about the evil in the world, things like natural disasters and wars and crime and death? How can there be such things if God is truly good? Well, there is some mystery here, because as we're going to see later on in this series, God is not only good, but he's also all-powerful. And there's nothing that happens outside of his control. But even though that's true, he has made a world that's distinct from him. And as creatures who are distinct from God, we can make our own choices. And we take our own actions that matter and have consequences. And yet, at the same time, everything that happens, including the evil choices and actions of human beings, all of it is part of God's good plan for his world. And it's moving that plan forward to a good end when all will be resolved and all will be put right. What people intend for evil, God intends for good. And we see this so clearly in the crucifixion of Jesus, the sinless Son of God. This was the greatest act of evil perpetrated by the human race. But as evil as this was, God intended it as the means by which he would carry out the salvation of his people. God is good. He does not have an evil side. He doesn't have a dark side. He doesn't do evil. But in his plan, he uses the evil actions of his creatures to accomplish his good purposes. As I said, we don't fully understand all the details of this. But the overwhelming testimony of Scripture is that the God that we serve is good. And he's favorably disposed toward his creation and toward us who are part of that creation. God is good to all. And that's something that should encourage us as we look at the troubles of this world, the troubles in our individual lives, as we look at viruses and racism and violence and loss. We can take comfort in knowing that we serve a God who is good and kind and compassionate. As the psalm says, he is a God who upholds those who are falling, and he raises up those who are bowed down, and he saves those who cry to him. And that brings us to the second point, God's special goodness to those who call on him. We see this in verses 18 through 20. This is what David writes. He says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cries and saves. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Now, though at the present time, God is generally good to all, there is a special goodness that is reserved for those who call on him. To these, David says, God is near. And specifically, he is near to save. That's what verse 19 says. Well, saved from what? Well, those who call on the Lord will one day be fully saved from the evil and trouble of this world. Evil and trouble that will culminate in the final destruction of this present world, this present creation. There's a day coming when God will withdraw all of his goodness from this world. At present, he has done this only in a partial way. He has withdrawn his goodness in response to humanity's sinful rebellion against him. In their arrogance, our first parents thought that they could live and thrive without the goodness of God. But God said in the day that they disobeyed him, they would not enjoy his goodness. In fact, they would die. And so they did. And so do we. Not right away, but eventually we die. And up to the time of our death, we experience many difficulties and troubles in this world. There is suffering in this life. Just read Psalm 90. Trouble and loss and death is what human existence looks like without the goodness of God. And what we experience now is a foretaste of what will come when God will fully withdraw his grace. That's the consequence of sin. But out of his kindness, out of his goodness, God has not yet allowed the full force of evil to come upon the world and to overcome us. Out of his goodness, he has not allowed us to experience the evil that we who are evil deserve. Instead, he continues to give us many joys, many good things. And he does that, the Bible tells us, to lead us to repentance, to lead us back to him, back to the one who is the source of every good and perfect gift. And so David says in verse 18 that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And in verse 19, he says that he fulfills the desire of those who fear him and saves them. Verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him. God wants to be good to us, to be near us, to fulfill our desires, to save us, to preserve us, to rescue us from the destruction that is to come. But to enjoy this special goodness of God, David says, we must acknowledge him. We must acknowledge the Lord. We must call upon him. And we need to do that truthfully, in truth. Giving him the proper fear and respect that he is due. And loving him with all our heart and soul and strength. In other words, we have to turn away from our sin. Turn away from our wickedness, because as David says, in contrast to those who call on the Lord, those who are saved, in contrast to these, David says the wicked will be destroyed. We need to look to God. We need to turn to him. God is a good and kind God. through Jesus, he has provided us a way of escape from the destruction that is to come. And if there's any doubt in our minds about this, all we need to do is to look at Jesus. Because in him, we have the supreme example, the supreme expression of God's goodness. God sent his Son into a rebellious world to suffer and die for sinners so that we can turn back to God, so that we can call upon him, so that we can be forgiven. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the name that we are to call upon is the name of Jesus. Jesus is the goodness of God in human form. It's this goodness of God that we celebrate today in the Lord's Supper. In this supper, we remember that Jesus gave his body and blood as a sacrifice for the sins of all who call on him in truth. If you have never called on the name of Jesus, I urge you to do that. God is for you in his Son, and in him you will find God in all of his goodness. Goodness that's beyond measure. With Jesus, a new relationship with God is yours. Eternal life is yours. And to those of you who have called on the name of Jesus, I say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't be distracted by the troubles of the day. Don't forget the goodness of your God. Your faith in Christ is not in vain. As David says in this psalm, God is faithful in all his words and righteous in all his ways. What he has promised to you in Christ, he will fulfill. He will bring it to pass. You and I can count on that. So be encouraged. Also, be moved. Be moved to fear God and to love him. Love him as he has loved you. And also be good to others as God has been good to you. Jesus calls us to be like our Heavenly Father in this. A Father who at the present time is good to all, both the righteous and the wicked. If Jesus, the Son of God, could give up his life for us, then we can give up our pride to do good to our enemies. And we can pray for those who persecute us. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to proclaim and to show the goodness of God to others, his kindness, his love, his forgiveness. And perhaps they'll see Christ in us and they'll be drawn to him and be saved. Praise God for his goodness to us in Jesus Christ. Praise God for his great and enormous mercy and love. Please join me in prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you for a Savior in Jesus. We thank you that you have been good to us, though we, like all people, deserve your wrath and judgment. Lord, remind us of these things. We need this encouragement as we live in this world with its many troubles. And we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in our hearts to move us not only to love you, but to love one another, to love even our enemies as you do, to show that goodness of God to the world. Lord, we pray that you will be with us in this, in ourselves, in our own strength, and by our own power, we are unable to do these things. But by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, we can do all things in Christ. And so we ask this in his name. Amen.